This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. About a year ago, a theatre company came onto my radar. This young company then was staging its, I think, second production titled Home. In the coming week, Anomaly's production will be staging Polos. I'm so tempted to say Polos. Anyways, which is written and directed by Nell Hannan. Polos is a devised piece of work. And three people who have helped devise this work, Sharif Saleh, Zulhusni Zamir, and Nabil Zakaria, are here with me. Welcome, folks.
Thank you.
Am I right? It's the third production. Zul, you are with Anomalist.
Yeah.
This is the third production.
To be exact, it's the fourth production. Four. Yeah, but this is the third time that we're staging it in a professional performing arts venue. Yeah.
You know, you three are full-time performers. Mm-hmm. Very, very rarely do I get full-time performers. Mm-hmm. How is life as full-time performers?
Wow. That's always the question that we get.
Yeah, this is Nabil.
Yes. Boleh cari makan ke? I think you would have to also be smart and find alternatives. I mean, if you want to depend your livelihood on theatre in Malaysia, I would say it's pretty difficult. It's not that easy. I mean, if you were to go to screen, for example, would make your life easier. But for me, I also do some other things on the side. So I guess it's a normal thing in Malaysia for actors to do that. So it's not surprising.
But you do film, Nabil?
I would love to do films. For the record, guys, I would love to do films. But I've only been in one film, and that was a small role. It was last year. Well, for actors, if you go to screen, for example, film or TV, you will obviously earn more. So,
simply because the stage takes so much time to prepare, to rehearse, memorizing, which you don't really need to do for film or TV. Because a lot of times I know people ad-lib when they're on TV or in front of a camera. Sharif, do you do television or film?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah, not
right
yet.
Now you're doing stage.
Yes.
How is it for you?
Well, I'm learning. That's one thing. And now I have classes. I have acting classes to master
to hone your skills.
Yeah, to hone my skills. And
where are you getting your acting classes from?
It's actually taught by a friend. It's more like a mentor. It's Hals Fava Baginda. He's teaching us on weekend basis on acting. So I'm doing acting and learning as well.
So this is your first time here, right?
Yes, this is my first time here. Thank you.
Nabil said he was here back in
1989, before I was born.
2012.
Yes.
When you were with?
That was under the production of KL Pack for the play titled I Hate Hamlet, directed by Nick Dorian as part of a T4YP season.
Ah, okay. And Sharif has been here before. He was here last year. Yeah. Okay, so since this is your first time, you're a full-time actor.
I would see myself as a full-time actor, but I stage manage too for a few theatre companies. I think it works both ways, you know. Acting in one part and stage managing, doing the backstage work. It really helps me to understand on-stage, off-stage issues. I would like to do films and TVs, but for the time being, theatre work really intrigues me. I think eventually, at the end of the day, as an actor, you know, theatre always gives you that satisfaction, but, you know,
satisfaction that film and TV cannot give you. I'd like to know why.
Well, because in theatre, you got, you know, a long process, at least a month to prepare, and you got to prepare for the role, get into it, do your research. But with TVs and films, especially in Malaysia, you don't really have that time to prepare. It's always a
go
last minute, yeah, a go thing.
Nabil's shaking his head or nodding. yes, he's agreeing.
But I agree though, because there is definitely a difference in terms of the performance and the preparation between stage work and screen, TV and film. Because I remember going to castings or actually being on set and being told to actually perform right there and then. Whereas in theater, you would have like weeks to prepare for that scene
and to explore.
Yeah, and to explore. So the difference is quite huge, I would say. I mean, my first time on set, it was quite difficult because I had to do it right there and then, and there's no preparation beforehand.
No script that they sent to you earlier for you to read and some time to think about.
If some reading the script, understanding it, and actually rehearsing it are two different things. So that's where the difference comes, I think, definitely.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that, Sheriff?
Well, I've never done TV or film, and I'm not planning going to do films or to be.
You just want to be a stage actor.
Yes, because to me, I love exploring, and mainly before this, I do physical theater. So basically, it's exploring yourself and then explore the minds of others. Yeah, so I'm not interested in the money, but I'm interested in the experience.
Sound rich actor. I'm not interested in the money, he says. Oh. Well, I think it's true that for the stage, you need to rehearse, you have time to explore and discover that you can be a person who is not like you, Nabil, it's not like you, Zul, not like you, Sharif. But film, because of the shorter time, you tap into what you already know, in a way, I think.
I would agree, because of the nature of the work, because you have to do it quickly. And, well, that's one thing that I have to add, though. I mean, for me, even during theatre, I think it's one of my weaknesses as an actor. I like to put a lot of myself into my character. It's something that I'm, you know, something that I'm not sure whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's something that I'm still trying to discover, whether I'm doing it too much or should I do it less or more.
Yeah, I suspect that there are parts of our behavior or the way we move that, because it's so deep-rooted, it's so hard to purge out. Better. But I guess that's where training comes in, where you know how to like compartmentalize and say, okay, now I'm this character, I'm being this character, you develop something different. Mm-hmm. This play that you have helped devise is in BM?
Well, mostly in Bahasa Melayu, but it's bilingual, but I would put it as, you know, 75% Malay and 25% English, but it's more modern, it's very contemporary. The way, you know, Malaysian people, I think the youngsters speak always in Malay and English. There's terms in English that you use every day.
But the Malay that's being used is not Karangan Melayu.
Oh, it's not Karangan Melayu or, you know, Peribahasa.
Not the kind of stuff that we would hear the news reader read on TV.
No, it's more contemporary. I think it would appeal even for people who are not very well versed in Malay, but I think they could follow the story.
I'm aware that Zul and Nabil, you both act in English language theatre, especially Nabil, you have done T4YP, which I understand is almost all in English.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think your bodies respond based on the language that you as the actor is performing in?
I remember when I was in my undergraduate years, because I majored in linguistics, there's this saying about how language can actually change how you think and how you talk. So there is a possibility that when you're speaking another language, your native language, your personality is in a certain way. And when you're speaking another language, your personality will change. It applies to me as an actor in theatre as well, because I know that when I speak in English, my behavior and my perception of the surrounding, it changes. And of course, I mean,
I'm interested to know, how does your behavior change when you are speaking English as opposed to speaking BM?
Possibly because I did English theatre first. And then after a few years, I started to do Malay theatre. I think because the Malay language is closer to my heart. It's my first language. So the way my body moves, the way I understand the language, because it's embedded in my in me somehow. So there are differences that I could see. I can't really articulate it to you exactly in detail.
Are you looser?
I would say so. Looser, a bit more freer.
In BM.
In BM.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is for me.
Zul?
Oh, well, I think there's different nuances and contexts with every different language. And for me, I think I pick up English as my second language and getting not very fluent, but good
more
at
comfortable
it.
At it.
More comfortable is by doing stage works. And somehow through that process, learning of the different nuances and contexts, even, you know, the stresses of words in English and Malay are different. So I think at the end of the day, it somehow changes how you behave, you know, doing Malay theatre or English theatre.
Nabil said he cannot quite articulate it. Do you think you can articulate what differences you notice in your body, how you carry yourself differently?
Well, I don't think I can. You know, Nabil got more experience than me.
No, because I have watched Chinese language plays and I have kind of noticed an actor moving in a particular way. And I just said, you know, if this were English language theatre, no character will move like that. I think our bodies have a syntax that goes with the words, that the language or the sounds that are coming out from our mouths. What do you think, Sharif?
We are Malays. The three of us are Malays. So basically, we go through our daily life as Malays. So we know how things work. Our culture affects us. If we are speaking English, we don't know the culture there. We see it on TV and through experience by talking to more liberal people, which is who've been there. Yeah, so that's why it's like how we perceive English language and how we think that they should be spoken. I mean, like spoken and acted.
Yeah, language has a bearing on our local theatre. In the English language theatre, they tend to perform the scripted stuff, but now the devised works are coming in. So we are using an English that we are more familiar with. And talking about devised play, this one that you are doing is a devised play. Mm-hmm. And the title of the play is?
Theatre Polos.
Yeah.
Theatre Polos. Not just Polos. Theatre Polos. Okay, we want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with three performers, Sharif Saleh, Zul Husni Zamir and Nabil Zakaria, who are all in this play called Theatre Polos, which will open next week. Coming up, we'll find out how this play was devised and what's it all about. This is Front Row and the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row and the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Next week, a play titled Theatre Polos by Anomalies Production will see daylight, or maybe artificial stage light, in the Damansara Performing Arts Center's Black Box. Palas is a device play, and Sharif Saleh, Zul Husni Zamir, and Nabil Zakaria, who are performing in this work, are here to enlighten us and entice us to go see this production. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that word, P-O-L-O-S, I thought, polos, meaning people in polo t-shirts.
A lot of people in polo t-shirts.
It's a trend nowadays, I think.
But the poster has this woman's picture, a drawn one nonetheless. What is this? What is polos or polos?
Polos, if we refer to Dewan Bahasa itself, actually, polos means naive. Polos means someone who has no bad intention. Someone who is pure and someone who is very innocent is also another word that can be associated with polos.
Is this a new word?
I don't think so. I think it's the contrary. It's an old word, maybe.
I think it's an old word and it is not being used, you know, in everyday
language
context.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, you know, Malay speakers knows about polos. But somehow, you know, eventually at the end of the day, it always gets tangled. Oh, what is polos? Oh,
so you get other BM speakers asking you, what's the meaning of this word?
No, even I was asking at the beginning of the production. The first time I heard it, I was like, macam polos? Let me check my dictionary. Yeah, because it's not a word that we usually use in our everyday conversation.
Yeah. You didn't ask, which t-shirt are we wearing?
I didn't ask that.
What's it about?
All right. Theatre Polos is about a lady that gone through life. It's a story of her life, through relationships and choices and what choices she has in her life. And then
what choices are before her? What did she have to decide on, or what does she have to decide on?
Dictator is about gamophobia. Gamophobia is the fear of commitment or fear of marriage. So it's about choosing whether to get married or not.
The story is about a young woman who is afraid of marriage or commitment.
Yes.
So more, it's about her then.
I think more of commitment.
Yeah.
I would commit.
See?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm.
So it's about gamophobia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gamophobia.
Yeah, I looked up that word. Like polos? This is a new word to me. I thought it was like a fear of games.
Yeah, gamophobia comes from Greek word. So with Greek word and all this phobia, it always has two parts. Gamo is marriage, and phobia comes from phobos, which is
fear.
Fear. So when the two words combine, gamophobia, it's not just about marriage, it's more of commitment. And seeing it from modern context and perspective, commitment itself, commitment means, you know, having to stick with the other person. If it is commitment to a person, if it is work, you have to stick, you know, through thick and thin, through highs and lows.
But this is specifically about relationships, so rather than a commitment to work.
Yes,
am I right? Relationships.
Relationship.
True. Now, this is a device play.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about devising this? So I assume since this is a device, you all have to tell stories about your own gamophobia?
Actually, that's what we did. In the early stages of the rehearsal, what the director did was she asked us a lot of questions. She asked us about our views of relationships and what our experience of relationship and whether there are any obstacles in relationship. And also, we did a few activities such as we had to draw while talking about relationships, and then we will analyze the drawing together. And we also did a few things such as actually taking an online quiz just so that we would know our language of love. In the early stages of rehearsal, we dealt with a lot of exercises that that actually give a shape of what we think about relationships.
Well, I remember four of them writing letters, but not me. Yeah. But the drawing, yeah. But devising, it's more of sharing stories, and it really opens up. For me personally, this is my second time doing device work. And the most interesting thing about doing device work is always about saying it out loud, but eventually looking in. Into yourself, getting to know yourself. There's a part of you that when you tell people about it, you know, people that you trust. And during the production time, we did eventually get trust between five of us, the actors and the director. Eventually, for me, myself personally, it's always, oh, so I have this side of me. Oh, you know, all this.
You discovered something about yourself.
And I think as a performer, it really is something magnificent, wonderful, yeah. I don't know how to put it.
You enjoy the whole process of devising because it is quite self-revealing.
Well, I don't really enjoy it.
You don't enjoy it?
Yeah, to be honest.
Hard to tell because you were delighting in explaining it.
Oh, yeah. For me, I'm quite a private person. So it's always the case of getting the people, you know, to trust people and then start sharing. So for me, that's the main obstacle, to start sharing. But eventually when you get into the process, it comes out wonderful things.
You are all in your mid-20s.
Hmm.
Are you all in relationships?
Oh, right now?
Yeah, well, not yesterday.
We are all singles.
Yeah.
Which means then, you are afflicted with this gamophobia?
For me personally, I wouldn't say so. I don't think gamophobia is something that I have, although maybe a bit of it. I mean, long-term commitment, I think, worries everybody. And for me, long-term commitment means marriage. So, you know, being a husband is not something that you It's not buying vegetables at the market, you know. It's a huge responsibility.
Do you think young people, your age group, are going through this issue? When I think of device plays, often the director or the person who's devising this is trying to tap into what's going on amongst his or her peers. So the question is, do you think this is something pervasive?
Not to everyone, because I have people my age. I mean, a lot of my peers are already married. So I think it's something that is different for every individual, definitely.
Yeah, with gamophobia, fear of commitment. Yeah, when we talk about, you know, devising plays, so eventually I got to know myself that I do have gamophobia. Yeah, there's a fear of commitment. But, you know, the question of getting married is still far away. But commitment itself, you know, commitment to your partner, it's still...
Yeah. Struggling to answer. Do you see this amongst your peers?
Well, most of my friends are Malays. So basically, especially the ladies, they aim to get married early. And
the guys know.
And the guys, some of them, yeah, they like to get married early and then settle down. And I don't see gamophobia at my age is a problem. It's actually a try and error thing. I don't think like relationships are actually something to be afraid of. But yeah, you should try. And then for long-term commitment, it always means marriage. So relationship is relationship. And marriage is marriage. So.
You're trying to draw people to come to your play. We go see plays which are dealing with issues that we are either interested in or that we, you know...
Going through
maybe. Hmm. But there is some kind of a connection between us and what we are seeing on stage that would draw us there. That's why I ask you, is this something pervasive? Is this something that you guys talk about? You know, hey, you know, this guy's been dating this girl for like how many years, but they're still not married. Or this girl's been going out with this guy for so many years, but they're still not married. Or this couple have been together, but...
I do believe in Malaysian context. I think there are people out there who are dealing with these problems. And I would like to shift our point of view to Europe, especially France, where you have, you know, government giving grants, subsidies to people who stay together, not even getting married. I think this is a modern problem in Europe, and eventually, because somehow we're Malaysian, you know, having this Western influx, eventually they it will seep in. And eventually people will fear.
You know, don't have to think about Western. In Singapore, the government gives subsidies to help people get married.
Oh.
They organize love boats. You know? Because if people don't get married, then the population will not grow. And yeah. Then you don't have the workforce. Then when you have all these old people and no young people to support the population, then you have also these kinds of issues. So to some extent, if a country is not growing,
producing,
I didn't want to use that word. there are problems that could arise. Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of factors tie into marriage as well, such as financial factors, and actually your readiness in terms of taking care of someone else for the next 30 years. I mean, that's a huge thing.
So,
doing
this play, do you confront the issues yourself? Say, okay, right, all three of you are not married, you're still single. Do you then start to think about, you know, okay, where am I? How am I dealing with this? Zul, in a way, has given us this hint of, yeah, I'm thinking about it, you know?
For me, well, I've been in quite a number of relationships before, and doing this play helps me to realize that what I've done and I've searched in the, like, what I look for in the past relationships, and now it got me like realizing that being single is not bad. it's a bit of the gamophobia thing, but being single is not bad. It's so a bit of gamophobia then.
feeling content of being alone, lah.
Yes. Who are the actors in this production besides the three of you?
There are also Sarah Zulkifli, who is actually playing the lead character in the play, and also Shida Samsudin.
There are five of you, three guys, two girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And this play, Apollos will happen at Damansara.
Yes, the Black Box in Damansara Performing Arts Center.
Next weekend. Yes. Hey, thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Apollos, an original play by Anomalous Production, opens Friday, March 31st and runs till Sunday, April 2nd in Black Box, Damansara Performing Arts Center. Performances are at 8:30 p.m. with additional matinees on Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. So a total of 5 performances. Tickets are priced at ringgit 38 with student discount at 28. This is Front Row and the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.